Just remark, tomorrow we will have the confession of Peter. Today, this man's eyes are open. Tomorrow, Peter's eyes are open. And that's Mark's schema. And that's... working into this account of Noah brings us into a world very different from ours, a mental world. This story, and there were sources for it, is just taken from the tradition and used to illustrate Noah's fidelity. We have at least two, maybe more, accounts of a universal destruction. The American Indians had one another, but where we are in this Semitic world, Akkadian, Sumerian, and so forth, there are remarkable differences, except for one mention in the Epic of Atrahasis. There's no couples. There's the other famous epic you may have heard about is Gilgamesh. Now, in both of these, the gods are disturbed by mankind. They decide to get rid of them. Now, it's so fascinating. The two reasons that the gods are disturbed is, one, human beings are multiplying too rapidly. The first, abortion mentality. See, there's too many. And the other, they're too noisy. And so the gods decide to get rid of them. You see the difference in the viewpoint, huh? For Genesis, for the inspired account, Adam, male and female, is the center of the whole story. It's the high point. Here, the high point is this big flood. Now, what's going on, and how do we adjust to it? It's very hard. These myths, these stories are meant to explain origins. How did this happen? Why do we have this? It's a philosophical effort. But the solution is told in forms of a narrative, form of a story, not prime mover and, you know, the philosophical stuff that we do under Greek influence. So they take the stories from their tradition, and they, in the power of the Holy Spirit, adjust them. And so God tells Noah that the evil in the world has gotten to be too much. I'm going to have to blot them all out. Interesting part, too, where this, heavenly beings mate with human women. What's that for? I don't know exactly. In other words, this is an inspired set of geniuses working with the traditional material thousands of years old. And they are taking this and making it reveal God. Am I clear? It's tough stuff. I mean, this is not like, and so Peter went down to Nazareth. You know, I mean, that's when we get to the Gospels. This is this old tradition. And so we had yesterday the building of the ark, great big square box, about 300 or 400 feet each way, if you read the dimensions in the Bible. It's a story of mercy. God's reaction to evil is to obliterate the evil, but not all of it. Not only Noah and his family, but all these animals are saved. Through the story, we therefore have this revealed understanding of God's mercy, permeating and changing and working with the story. Now, our idea of history, which is very mathematical, wouldn't fit very well here. Was there a Noah or wasn't there a Noah? Was there a flood or wasn't there a flood? It's in between, yes, of course. But it's seen through the eyes of a monotheism. There's only one God. And he's not disturbed. He told them to multiply, increase and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it. That's the injunction given to Adam, right? So, like the abortionists today, there's too many people. Let's get rid of them, you know. And also, they bother us. They're making too much noise. They're bothering us. So let's get rid of them. Now that harsh, cruel, that's the way most of the kings at that time operated. But God, when they inherit these stories, the first thing they do, yes, there's evil, and it has to be gotten rid of. But God takes a whole family and preserves them. Then he sends this flood after having warned Noah. And then you heard the second part. And it ends with a sacrifice to God and a promise. You see, when the Lord smelled the sweet odor, that's a phrase from the sacrificial terminology of the Old Testament. He accepted this gift. You see, never again will I doom the earth because of man. Never again. There'll be an end to this world as we know it. But we don't know exactly what that means. The great saints, including St. Thomas, envisage all this beautiful world just being touched by the divine life and transformed, not just obliterated. You see, when the Lord, he said to himself, how does he know what God said to himself? You see, it's, he resolved. Never again will I doom the earth because of man. Since the desires of man's heart are evil from the start, nor will I ever strike down again all living beings as I have done. As long as the earth lasts, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. That's a covenant. That's a covenant. God makes this covenant, you see, with creation. Never again. Now in 2 Peter, there's a warning. The first time it was destroyed by water. The next time it's going to be destroyed by fire. Some of those texts we just don't understand. That's all. And yet underlying it all, if we pay attention, there's a very powerful message. Yesterday, I was praying here, and I asked the Lord, let your blessed spirit pray in me. Let me just yield to it, whatever you want. Then I said, and I was interceding for the world, and I said to the Lord, what is the greatest evil afflicting the world? And I thought I heard him say, abortion. That's killing all these innocent people, many of whom are conceived because of a totally reckless self-indulgence. And it's so systematic and so cruel and so flagrant. And I just had the sense that of all the evils we perpetrate, the one that stirs up the Lord's wrath more than any other is abortion. Well, we've moved now beyond Noah. You can read it and go on, or you could say, what does this mean? It's the word of God. Then you got to work at it. And our Lord loves it when we work at it. And so there is this mercy of God. The whole world is evil. But he selects this righteous man and his family. And one saves the world. That's Jesus.